So, my friends, we come to the end of this series of talks on mindfulness of breathing, relying on the classic teachings on this practice given by the Buddha a long time ago. In the heart of it is these 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing, and the instructions go on beyond those 16 steps to describe the process by which mindfulness of breathing leads to full awakening. And I had a teacher in Japan, a Zen teacher I practiced with there, who said that all of Buddhism can be revealed through mindfulness of breathing, focusing on the breathing. And when the Buddha, the best records we have of what meditation practice the Buddha himself did, he explained he did mindfulness of breathing. He would sometimes, as a fully awakened being, he would go off into the forest for 2 weeks, 4 weeks at a time, to be on retreat. And before he went or after he came back, he would explain that what he was doing was practicing mindfulness of breathing. So it isn't only a practice to bring us to awakening and enlightenment, it's also a practice to do after enlightenment. And maybe the enlightenment is just kind of a... maybe it's not, you know, certainly important, but maybe that's not really the point, maybe. The point is to continue practicing. Before awakening, practice. After awakening, practice. Having confidence. And some people, there's some schools of Buddhism where they say that enlightenment or awakening, whatever it might be in that school, they emphasize what it really is. It's a confirmation of the practice. That now we really know this is what the practice is. And the practice is good. It works. And so there's a very clear confidence in the practice itself. And certainly Buddhist practice can be more than mindfulness or breathing. To have confidence in the practice you do, and that is one of the signs of maturing and developing in this meditation practice, rather than measuring success by states of meditation, states of concentration, states of calm, or states of insight, whatever it might be. I don't want to dismiss the value of those, but more important is this unshakable confidence that this practice is worth doing, really to trust it. And one of the great gifts that mindfulness practice has given to me is that I have this kind of real trust that in just being mindful, in the practice of mindfulness, practice of showing up and being aware of what's happening now. And there's certainly plenty of times that I run into difficult situations where I don't quite know how to find my way through and understand what's happening. But I trust even those situations that to be mindful. And there's a sense of direction and purpose and grounding and orientation and a sense of safety where I don't get swept up in the drama of the moment or the concerns, anxieties of the situation perhaps, because I have this deep trust that things will work out when there's a strong mindfulness. Just come back to it and practice. Now, it doesn't mean I'm only mindful, but mindfulness then reveals the way forward sooner or later. And that I don't seem to go wrong by pausing, by stopping to look and be present and see what's really going on here and what's happening in me, what's happening outside. And I don't go wrong by coming back and just breathing. Some of you have done yoga classes where the common instructions from the yoga teacher or observation is you're holding your breath, you know, don't hold your breath or something, that somehow in the straining of doing a posture, some people hold their breath, and the yoga teachers like you to keep a relaxed, loose breath as you go. And that's really good advice for all of life. And so to one of the possibilities of mindfulness of breathing practice is that it becomes second nature to be aware of your breathing and how you're breathing and where the breathing is constricted or held, and to come back to a relaxed breath, a fluid breathing, an easeful breath. Makes a huge difference because it kind of reorients or resets the psychology, the emotionality, the mind itself. Because when the mind is when the breathing is relaxed, it's actually harder to cling or grasp or contract around things. It's kind of a little bit of protection. I think of it as a lubricant of the mind, lubricant of the heart. Keeps it fluid and moving and not rusted. There's a wonderful, the rhythm of breathing in and out, and that rhythm is a protection from getting caught up and fixated on our preoccupations, our concerns, our fears. And if we're not fixated, we get often a more realistic understanding, a bigger, better view of what's going on than if we get caught up in the middle of our preoccupations. So mindfulness of breathing is always useful, I think. Sometimes there are some people who don't find it particularly like their favorite or most effective practice for themselves, and there are other wonderful practices to do. But these weeks that we've been doing this mindfulness of breathing, I want to emphasize that it is a wonderful practice for many, many people, and that as we sink into it and develop it and grow in it, that one of the primary qualities eventually is a real confidence in it, a real confidence in practice, where it's we just do it day in and day out. And I believe that's my kind of reading of the classic instruction on 16 steps, that most of those steps has the expression, I will breathe in. I will train. Training, I will breathe out. In the midst of everything, whatever is going on in the 16 steps, I train to breathe in. I train to breathe out. And this intentionality, this dedication, I'd like to say this love, of just kind of breathing in the middle of it, no matter what. Nothing is worth getting so caught up in that we can't just stay on the river of breathing. We can't stay with the lubricant, with the ease, with the relaxation that mindfulness of breathing can provide. And it makes life so much easier. And in the Buddhist terminology, it helps it to be a life that's freer, more liberated, more easeful, more open, and then available for more wisdom, to see more clearly what's here. We have this amazing capacity for wisdom and insight and seeing that can come in the wake of relaxed, open, settled experience with the breathing, breathing in and breathing out. So I think this is the 72nd, maybe, session we've had on mindfulness of breathing, and we've done it since the beginning of the year. It's quite a journey. I hope that this has been meaningful for you, supportive for you, and kind of opened up or pointed to you to some of the value and richness that can come with mindfulness of breathing, and some of the 16 steps are, you know, the topics of the steps are relevant for other forms of meditation practice as well. And it's given you new perspectives on yourself and maybe even pointed to dimensions of your inner life that you haven't really thought about before or focused on or seen before. And maybe it's has supported you and developed you. And so thank you for letting me share all this these months about mindfulness of breathing. It is, I would say that it's my primary practice and for meditation and going around daily life. I've been doing mindfulness of breathing since I was probably 20 years old, and so for decades. And I find it still, to this day, a fantastic, wonderful practice. And so it's not the only practice I do, because mindfulness is includes everything. It's part of the beauty of mindfulness is to be all-inclusive. But breathing is at the center of it all, and it's a wonderful center. So thank you, and we'll continue on Monday with a new topic. I haven't decided quite what we're going to do. And there's a small chance that on Monday that I'll be at a different location and than here, with maybe with Wi-Fi that's a little bit weak. I was told it was slow, so we'll see how this goes if I'm there. It's, I don't know, it's 50-50 chance I'll be here or be in this other location. And but we'll do some topic next week that does feel a little bit like a follow-up, maybe from this whole series. So I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for the opportunity to give this series.